Good morning, Terra family. It's good to have you with us this morning. We have we started last week, if you were with us, into a new series here at Terra Nova in the letter to the 1 Corinthians written by the Apostle Paul. And last week was an introduction to that series with a lot of background given as to the cultural and historical going-ons of that time in the city of Corinth that were influential in the life of the Christians there, and even largely the basis for why the Apostle Paul then had to write to that group of believers, given the culture that they were in, given the temptations they were faced with. And so there, it was very foundational in many ways for this series, I think more so than even some of other of Paul's letters. The cultural and historical background is helpful to then understand throughout this letter why he's addressing what he's addressing. So if you didn't get a chance to join us for that, or if you want to revisit that, you can go to our website or download that sermon from our podcast. But today we're actually going to be taking a week break from that series in order to do something that we don't do very regularly, but that I'm excited to be able to walk through with you this morning. We're going to be unpacking what it looks like to for somebody to enter into the elder process at Terra Nova, specifically with Matt Schwartz in view. And Matt is a guy who many of you already know, some of you have journeyed with for quite some time, who has really a decade's worth of time in community with us here at Terra Nova, stretching back to the Troy days and being here right from the very beginning back in the fall of 2012 when we launched Terra Saratoga out of Temple Baptist's youth facility. So he's been with us since the beginning, he and his family, and we're going to actually hear more from Matt and Jessamyn in a little bit as they come up and I kind of draw out some of their story for you to hear for yourselves. But what I want to do before we get to that place is be able to speak a little bit to what eldership is to begin with. Some of you may be thinking, okay, he's mentioned elder a few times now. I have no idea even what that is. And so I don't want to make a presumption that we're all on the same page and understand what an elder is. I want to speak to that briefly. And then unpack even what that looks like, not only biblically, but in the context of the way that we do church here at Terra Nova, our polity or our church government. So that's kind of where we're going for today. Before you check out and think, what does that have to do with me? I so wish we were still in 1 Corinthians. Let me just encourage you that I think it is relevant to you. It's relevant to you if you're a Christian here today, and it's particularly relevant to you if you call Terra home. And here's at least a few reasons why, even if they're not the best ones. The ones that came to mind for me is, number one, I want you to see the reasons behind why we do what we do at Terra Nova. A lot of times there's just probably assumptions made and things go on without people really understanding the basis for it. But there's a method to our madness, and I want you guys to be able to see how we arrive at how we do church, and that it's prayerfully derived from and rooted in Scripture. And the second thing is that because in understanding the different gifts, roles, and functions that God has given to his people, understanding that can only help breed unity amongst us. We talked briefly last week about how Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 unpacks what the body of Christ is. It's a metaphor we may take for granted who've grown up in church. It was probably a new way of thinking for that church to think about themselves as these individual parts of a whole. And by understanding those individual parts, including an elder and including leaders within the context of the church, we better are able to understand how we're to function within that whole. So that's another reason why this is important and relevant. And then finally, because there may be others in our midst who God will place it on their heart to raise up as elders here at Terra Nova. And that just by virtue of understanding what that entails, and even hearing a bit from another one who's on that journey, that may plant a seed that God would use to foster and grow a sense of calling to serve the local body as an elder. Those are just a few reasons to stay tracking with us today, and that why I think this is valuable for us. There's a lot that I'm going to share with you in very brief, that I'm not going to be able to go into great detail with you on. But here's where I want to go in the next 15 minutes or so before we bring up Matt and Jessamyn. First, we'll take a look, as I said, at what is an elder biblically? What is it at the 101 level? And then how does that fit into our polity, our church government at Terra? Then we'll take a look at what does the Bible have to say about what should be the qualifications for an elder? What things should characterize this person? Then we'll spend some time with Matt and Jessamyn, and we'll close our time with me talking through with you what specifically that's going to look like for Matt, what his elder process is going to look like throughout this fall. So to begin with, what is an elder? You're going to hear me use the term elder and pastor interchangeably today. The Bible, the New Testament, also uses the term overseer. And in fact, the New Testament authors really just assumed that these were three functions of the same, one and the same office. So you've got elders, you've got pastors and shepherds, you've got overseers referred to, but it was understood these were all one and the same person, one and the same office. So what are those in brief? Well, an elder, both in ancient Israel and also in the context of the early church as we see unpacked in Acts, were those from the community of believers that would gather together and were looked to exercise wisdom in the judgments and decisions that they would make for the good of a community. You may have heard the term the elders at the gates, which was one that was used referring to the elders in ancient Israel that would gather at the gates of the city to use wisdom in making decisions and discretion on things that needed to be decided upon that were for the good of the community. So there's an implication that these are the ones that we look to make wise decisions for the best interest of our community in the term elder. Then you have the one that probably is maybe most familiar to you, whether you have a church background or not. That's the idea of a pastor. But even that has really a separate and specific function from that of elder or overseer. A pastor or a shepherd, as it's used synonymously, is really about caring for the flock. In the primary way that's interesting when you start to really explore in the New Testament what shepherding entails is through the teaching and preaching of the Word. It also has to do with caring for those in our midst through praying together, counseling. But primarily what we see in Scripture is that teaching and preaching and shepherding, caring for the flock, are tied together very closely. So that's what's implied through the function of pastoring. And then you have overseer, which again is another term that's used interchangeably for an elder. And this stresses the function of church oversight. This is really the function that has to do with leadership and guidance and offering direction to the church. There are some passages that use all three of these terms at once, such as 1 Peter 5, 1-4. Let me just read that for you. It's going to be on the screen behind me as well. Here Peter says to the church to whom he's writing, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." So elders, as you can see here, they exist in the local church context for the purpose of shepherding and leading a flock with wisdom for the greater maturity of those that are under their care. That's the function of an elder, in brief. So how does an elder fit into our polity, our church government, the way we do church here, specifically at Terra Nova? You can really boil down our form of church government into three terms. We're Christ-centered, elder-led, and staff-run. Let me unpack those briefly for you, each of them. We're Christ-centered. It has to start here. Here's what that means. The local church doesn't revolve around its elders. Okay? Just in the passage we read in 1 Peter chapter 5, it talks about the chief shepherd. Elders are just under-shepherds. The picture I like to have in my own mind is we're all the body of Christ in a circle around Jesus, pastor or not, looking to him. It has to do with the idea that our focus is fixed upon Jesus and not any one person or persons in the church. I think that we even touched upon this as being a potential problem of the church last week when we talked about one of the first things Paul addresses with the church at Corinth. He recognized that they had this issue where they were elevating man in some ways more than they were Christ. There were factions that were formed that were loyal to different leaders or pastors who had made their way and had influence in this church. People like Paul, people like Apollos and Peter, even had some who were, you know, saying, well, for me, I'm with Jesus. But even the implication there is there was kind of this, I'm better than the next person because my focus is just on Christ. So there are these factions revolving around loyalties, and Paul goes out of his way to say to the church, I am no different than you from the perspective of the fact that we are all servants of Christ together. God has given me this gift, but it's for the purpose of serving his church. And he seeks to level the playing field. And so the first value when it comes to how we orient our polity here at Terra is that we're Christ-centered, but we're also elder-led. So at the same time, one of the primary functions of an elder is to lead. In the New Testament, we see that elders appoint other elders, that elders make decisions for the good of the church. And it's not unlike the biblical paradigm that you may or may not be familiar with from Ephesians 5 when it comes to the relationship between the dynamic that exists within a marriage between a husband and a wife. So in Ephesians 5, it talks about how the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. So how is that? What does that look like? Well, is Christ the head of the church by ruling with an iron fist? No. Christ is the head of the church, and he leads through sacrificial service. So similarly, in the context of the local church, an elder leads, but the way in which he leads is through sacrificially serving the church. Here's what being head does not mean, by the way. It doesn't mean leading from isolation. So I can use my own marriage, hopefully, as an analogy here, and hopefully Lee would agree with this. But I don't make decisions as the pastor of our home, according to Ephesians 5, in isolation. I can't afford that luxury. I'm not wise enough, but God has given me a wife who is. And so many of the decisions that we come up against in our marriage, that ultimately I'm accountable before the Lord to make the right one for the good of our family, I'm leaning on my wife to counsel and inform me as to what she thinks is right and good based upon the wisdom that God has given her. I think that that's a microcosm for the way that elders are to lead within the local church. We're called to lead. We answer to Jesus. We are accountable to make decisions that are in the best interest of the body of Christ. And yet we do so not uninformed by what the Spirit is doing in the hearts of his people that are in our congregation. So we listen and we take that into consideration as we lead the flock. So as a church, we're Christ-centered, we're elder-led, but we're also staff-run. And here's what we mean by that last piece. Any church, if you know of one that's an exception to this rule, then they need to just spread the wealth of the elders amongst them. Any church that has elders in its midst is in the minority. They're a small percentage of that congregation, and they can't possibly do all the teaching, shepherding, counseling, and meeting of the needs on their own. Nor would that even be biblical. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4:11-12, God gave us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So if the elders are doing their job right, if I am doing my job right, then I'm equipping others who are taking up the baton of ministry and having an exponential impact beyond whatever I possibly could on my own. So it's our staff, it's our ministry leaders, it's our volunteers who largely make the church go. And that's what we mean by staff run. So we are a church that seeks to be Christ-centered, elder-led, and staff run. So then what are the qualifications of an elder? By what criteria do we determine if somebody is being called to an elder in the context of Terra Nova Church? We use a paradigm, a memorable expression, whatever. We use this thing called the 5 C's that's helpful to us to kind of walk through whether or not a person is being called and helping to affirm that sense of calling to eldership. And those include character, calling, capacity, competence, and compatibility. Let me unpack those briefly for you. If there's one that you could say is most important amongst these that you have to have as a starting point, it's character, right? And we find out a lot about, specifically, the character that God calls elders to through passages like 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. Now, here's the thing. Other Christians aren't exempt from these. All Christians can aspire to those characteristics that are laid out in those books of the Bible. But these must be characteristic of the one who's aspiring to eldership. So character is the first thing and the starting point for discerning one's call to eldership. The second thing is calling. Here's what we mean by that. Ultimately, it's God who calls pastors, not men. Paul, while speaking to the elders in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, says this: "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." So, here's the way that that works. It's not so much that arbitrarily the elders are members of a congregation going around and appointing, here's who should be an elder in our midst. What we're doing instead, as elders and as a congregation, is we are recognizing and confirming what the Spirit is already doing. We are recognizing and confirming where we're already seeing the work of ministry, shepherding, leading in sacrificial ways that are making an impact and a difference in the body of Christ, and saying, it seems to be that God is doing something here. We're recognizing and affirming that. The other side of that coin when it comes to calling is that individual strong sense of conviction that this is what the Lord is leading them to do. Because if they don't have a strong sense of conviction that this is from the Lord, then they don't have anything to fall back upon when it comes to the tough times that inevitably a pastor in a congregation will go through, because that just comes with the territory. So it's something that we recognize and affirm as a congregation, and it's something that is a strong sense of conviction and calling on the part of the individual exploring the path to eldership. Then there's capacity. We get into some of the more practical aspects of discerning one's track to eldership. We evaluate whether this person has the bandwidth to devote spiritual and emotional resources in the context of pastoring. And now this is going to look different, by the way, for somebody who's a staff elder or pastor versus somebody who's a lay elder. In our history at Terra Nova, we've had at least a couple of lay elders who are either bivocational or worked full-time in a job outside of the church, but served the church as a pastor, having equal authority and understood to have wisdom and all that comes along with being a pastor, but not necessarily the same expectation for the amount of time that they can give. However, there is still a high level of spiritual and emotional capacity that is necessary, and so we seek to discern that and help them to discern whether they have it, because we don't want to set them up for failure. Then there's competency. Here's what we mean by that. Just as is a large level of spiritual and emotional capacity is necessary, we want to be able to affirm that because the roles and responsibilities of pastoring are so demanding, that this person has already demonstrated a track record where they've had meaningful responsibility in the context of the corporate world, the home, or already in a church, and have demonstrated, yeah, this is something that they can do. And so we look to that. We look to kind of a background of experience that would say, yeah, I think this person could exceed in the crucible that would come along with being a pastor. Finally, there's compatibility. There are some who may clearly meet all these other expectations of character and calling and capacity and competency. But chemistry needs to be there as well. It's a key that all of the elders are pulling in the same direction. So sometimes there's secondary issues that we just agree to disagree on within a local church, and that's fine. We don't divide over that. But when that is brought into the context of an elder team, sometimes those secondary issues can be sticking points that can actually keep a group of elders from being able to move forward and implement the vision, the main vision and goals of the church. And so we spend time evaluating that through spending time together in various contexts to see if there's chemistry. It's not an indictment on the person's character or calling if we discern there's not the chemistry necessary there. What it may be, in fact, is that the Lord truly is calling them to be a pastor, but it may be in another local body of Christ where the main emphases and vision are more in line with that person's. So these are the different factors that we'll use when coming alongside someone to help confirm their sense of calling and before we would lay hands on that person to ordain them as a pastor at Terra Nova. As I mentioned up front, Matt Schwartz is entering this process as of this fall. He's a guy that many of you guys know and have spent years journeying alongside already. One of the reasons that I love and admire Matt is because so many of these qualities that I've just listed and characteristics were characteristic of him as he's shepherded and led and counseled and served this church before eldership was even something on his radar. So this September, he's going to be stepping into this process, and I wanted to be able to give you as his church family the opportunity to hear some of his story, some of the story that I and some of you have been privy to, but maybe not this whole congregation, of his journey over the past years that he's been at Terra, in particular, maybe even over the past year. There's been a lot going on in his life and their family's life, and I'm going to be inviting Jessamyn to join him as well, because as any of us who are married knows, our spiritual journeys can't be told and even journeyed apart from that of our spouse. And so Jessamyn has had an integral part in this journey for Matt as well. So I'm going to invite you guys to come up and ask you some questions, and we'll hear some of your story. So Matt, one of the things that I'll make sure you guys are on and good to go. One of the things that I've long taken for granted now, but I think is probably helpful for people here to know, is how and when did your journey at Terra Nova begin to begin with?
Well, about, I would say, 2007, January-ish, my wife and I got engaged, and throughout that time, Jessamyn was attending Terra Nova down in Troy. And it was still a kind of a brand new church, and Jessamyn and I always had this dynamic to our relationship where she's always pushing me to be better. She's always pushing me to kind of understand deeper my faith and to push into the things that I believe in. She went to this church called Terra Nova, and I remember she wrote me a letter. We used to do that. She wrote me a letter and said, I went to this place and it was incredible, and I was, you know, the gospel was preached so effectively, and just, I was in tears the whole service because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I thought that this didn't exist anymore. And I wrote it off right away because it met in a nightclub. And I was a little scared of that, my conservative upbringing. But we started going to Terra Nova and just really made some really integral life moves with vocation early on, et cetera, to being in Troy, New York, to be involved with this new place that we called Terra Nova. And we just grew to love the church. We grew to love just the way the gospel is preached every Sunday and lived out throughout the week in our tribes and other things. And we loved it, and we're just dedicated to what the Lord had, the Lord's work that was starting in that place. You have anything to add? Okay, I did good. All right.
As far as you guys are comfortable sharing, because I mean, I've just heard you unpack at various times the ways in which your time at Terra has been formative for you guys in your lives and marriage. Would you be willing to share a little bit of that journey?
Okay. We were sitting talking yesterday as we were screwing in floorboards on our deck through this. Talking through this question, and the thing that we kept coming back to that was different for us and new and formative for us was our experience at Terra, the community aspect in terms of tribes. We had, prior to coming to Terra Nova, we had never been part of a group or a community that really sought to live out like really deeply together, like a gospel-centered life and community together. And that was something that at times for us was very, very hard. At the time that we were had first moved back here, we didn't have any family. We live with my parents right now and we'll be living next to my parents. But we didn't have anyone. So this group of people that we came to know and love and who really showed us what it actually meant to live out our faith, I think that was probably one of the most formative parts of like our young marriage and our early time at Terra.
You had anything?
Yeah, I think we were in a place of kind of wandering. We weren't sure what we were going to do with our lives. We thought we were going to be here for a couple years and go back to grad school, and we were just making all these big decisions and struggling with our identity being Christ-centered. struggling with an identity that says, well, I'm the husband, so I have to speak this way, act this way, do these chores, do these things, and same for Jessamyn. And we were really floundering, and we were struggling to show a Christ-centered marriage. And we just, you know, the people in our tribe, our leaders, specifically the Gordons and Millers, were hugely impactful in our early journey and really showed us that our identity was in Christ first, and that he had made both of us uniquely special for his own purposes, for his own glory, and just to understand what that meant, to live that out in a small group setting, but also then in our marriage, was extremely formative. And I'm not sure we would be sitting here today without some of the hard words, filled with grace, filled words as well, but really hard words to keep us accountable and hold us to task to live in such a way that that glorifies Christ. So,
yeah, and one of the things that, without going into detail, but you mentioned the hard words that were shared with you guys that are actually partly responsible for why you may even be here and together and thriving in areas that maybe you weren't then. You guys didn't shy away from those. Hard words doesn't do justice, I imagine, to the way you felt at the time being confronted by some of the things that were being shared to you. But you didn't recoil and pull away. You pressed in, and the Lord provided through that. One of the things, Matt, that I wanted you to walk us through a bit was your journey over this past year. For those who don't know, and I should have mentioned this earlier, Matt just, he came on this summer in July part-time as the worship and operations director and full-time as of September 1st, serving in that capacity here at Terra Nova. But that wasn't like just coming out of college or anything like that. That was after, you know, a decade or more of successful and fruitful work within Shen as a music teacher. So walk us through a little bit of the journey as to how you took that step of faith.
I'm not sure we have time, but I'll meet with some of you at some other times as well. But so wrapped up kind of in that identity piece that I was talking about earlier, I was supposed to be a band director in Buffalo. God got us here and started tearing away some of the layers, but I was supposed to live at home with my parents, next door to my parents, and be a band teacher for 35 years and retire and have a boat and a couple cars and stuff. And that was really my identity, was really wrapped up in those goals. And not that I started to get dissatisfied with where the Lord had me working in my vocation as a middle school teacher. I still, to this day, I will miss being a middle school teacher. It was a wonderful thing. But the Lord kind of gave me some holy discontent, and with the help of Jessamyn kind of helping me push into some of the holy discontentment that I was starting to feel, and to kind of push in deeper to what it meant for me to live out my faith, specifically who I am right here, right now. And serving at Terra Nova Church just seemed like something that was a no-brainer. It was never, sure, it was hard, but there was no time that I thought, well, I need to get rid of this and so I can do other things more, or I need to step down and serve less. It was always, I'm here to be used to serve you, to serve the church, to glorify Jesus, and that's what I want to do. And so this past year, you know, being up here in front many Sundays leading worship and being behind the scenes on a lot of things, doing both of those jobs was getting to be difficult, and I didn't really understand. I'd pared down every other aspect of my life, and I didn't really understand what it meant to actually jump in with both feet. I didn't think it was possible. I didn't think that it was even there. And one night at Tribe, again, one of our friends said something like, well, Matt, you have too many things on your plate. You need to get rid of some things. And I was like, I've tried to get rid of everything. I've already gotten rid of everything. My life is as pared down as it can be, but I was still spiraling I felt like the Tasmanian devil all the time. I never stopped and I never had focus. And the Lord used that conversation and that situation to finally speak to me loudly. And when he did, it was Matt. Shen is the thing that you can get rid of. And I hope again in my lifetime that I'll hear the word of the Lord so clearly. But even if I don't, wow, it's a unique thing. It's a special thing to be told, to really be told clearly from the Lord where he was pushing me and my family, and where these deep longings of mine were going. And that was to serve his church full time, and that was to just be pushed into this new journey where, you know, we don't have all the answers yet. We're really new at all of this and this journey that started, but we know for a fact that the Lord has placed us here for this time, for you, for this church, and we couldn't be any more excited to be here serving you. So there's a whole lot more there, but I hope I did the last year at least some justice.
I think so, yeah. And as I mentioned briefly earlier when I was talking about Ephesians 5 and how a husband is to lead and shepherd his home, he doesn't do so separate from that of his family, and in particular his wife's input and encouragement and feedback. And I know firsthand, having journeyed a little bit of this with you guys, that Jessamyn has been a significant part of this process of confirming and supporting in this decision, and it was a road that you guys had to travel. Can you guys speak briefly to what does that look like for Jessamyn to be coming alongside you in that process of this past year?
I think for me, what the last year has looked like, I am usually a doer. I come from a long line of doers. If any of you have met my mom, she's always doing and working and serving. And so this year has been actually a lot of pulling back for me, not doing as much, paring down to being really focused on like the bare bones of our family and building a house and teaching our children and keeping our children fed and dressed most of the time. The Lord has taken this time. I guess in my mind I had thought like ministry, if we were to do ministry together, it would be, we're both kind of doing the same thing at the same time, but this past year has, the Lord's really shown me that us doing ministry together, there's a whole lot that goes into that. Very little of which is seen, and the Lord has really shown me the importance of being there to support Matt and pray for Matt and counsel Matt, that those things aren't secondary, that they're part of the whole package of what he's doing.
And I think just really quickly, just that Jessamyn has always encouraged me to pursue to live a deep, meaningful life. You know, from when we first started dating, there was always something more, and she's really shown me that's living as closely as you can to God's design and God's purpose for you. And so I would never have imagined this happening without my wife pursuing me and helping me understand who I am in light of Christ and where we are going as a family, and that's chasing after Jesus and trying to live out the gospel the best we can.
So last question for you guys. You alluded earlier that, you know, as you were discussing these questions in preparation for today, that you were nailing or screwing down floorboards for your porch. And your house is kind of symbolic of my next question. But I've, over the years, seen you guys increasingly talk about your conviction that the Lord was calling you to plant roots here in Saratoga and the surrounding communities, which I've been encouraged and challenged by. And I just wanted to give you guys a moment to unpack where that's come from.
Well, I think at first we were really kind of it was kind of like a motion against what we saw a lot of people doing, which was coming here for a couple years and moving, whether whether they wanted to or not. We noticed that we just kind of always stuck around, that we're always kind of there, that we always, you know, the Schwartzes will be there probably, you know, because they don't have anything else to do. And I mean that to be funny because it kind of started that way. Like, oh, well, we'll be the boring old Schwartzes and we'll stay here and we'll live here forever and we'll just get old and gray in Walston Spa. But man, the Lord started to use that and started to help us understand that the local church, especially when we launched 6 years ago, that the local church needs presence, needs consistency, and it needs stability. And we just thought, well, we can just be the boring Schwartzes and we'll kind of try to do that. But it really did turn into a calling from the Lord, and that I can articulately say that being present, consistent, and stable was something that we knew we could do really well, because that's kind of in us as people, and there's a depth there that is not super flashy, but there's such a depth there that we have experienced a lot of joy and a lot of satisfaction from the Lord working in that way in us, and we want to be here for you. We want to have presence among you all the time, and we want to have people always surrounding us and at our, you know, at our new property and house soon to come, and just that's out of a calling, guys. It's, you know, of course building a house was kind of something we always wanted to do, but it's really turning into part of our calling. Mm-hmm. So
guys, thank you for sharing some of your story. I know that it's vulnerable to do that, but part of the reason I think that we feel empowered and encouraged to do so is because we know, as we often say at Terra, we're more universal than unique. And so our stories are not really just our own. They're reflections of the way that God tends to work in all of his people, and we can learn from one another. And so I'm just grateful for you to have been able to unpack that with us. I'm going to go ahead and ask you guys to return to your seats for a few minutes. What I'm going to do then is just share with the congregation at large as we close what your journey, Matt, is going to look like over the next several months in this elder process. And then we'll close with some time in prayer and continue our worship together. And I'll head back down too. So, in our experience at Terra Nova, every elder process that an individual has gone through has looked a little bit different and has been customizable based upon that person's time with us in community at Terra Nova, the experience that they brought to the table, the ministries that they've been a part of, their trainings that they've been a part of prior to entering that process. And before Matt even began exploring the possibility of eldership, before it was even a twinkle in his eye, something that God planted in his heart, he'd already been through multiple tribe trainings. He'd been through a year of the leadership collective that we do here at Terra Nova, which covers many of the books that we would have an elder in process read through. He's served in a variety of leadership capacities, some visible that you guys know very well of, having seen him for the last couple of years, and even longer serve as a worship leader and as our worship arts coordinator, as well as a tribe leader. Matt and Jessamyn both have been a part of counseling here at Terra Nova at large, and specifically in the realm of marriage counseling. And then there's the intangible that time and community brings, where there's this high degree of unity that he already has, that he doesn't have to try when it comes to being one with the orthodoxy and polity of Terra, with our theological views and with our understanding of the secondary things as well in our polity here, just by virtue of him being immersed in community and in mission and in ministry with us here for so long. These are the things that only come with time, and he gets them. And so that's valuable, and it informs his elder process. So because Matt has already informally gone through a lot of the things that an elder in process would, his process is likely to be shorter than it would be for most other people at Terra Nova. But there are still some things left that are there to be vetted and there to be explored. And so here's what specifically we anticipate Matt's journey looking like for him this fall as he enters into the elder process. The first thing is, He's been asked to, he and Jessamyn both, to complete a pretty extensive application, exploring some pretty personal stuff on the level of marriage and family, as well as their theology, pastoral IQ type questions with scenarios that are presented, and just seeing what his response to those are, as well as Jessamyn's. It's like a 30 plus page application, 40? Okay, you would know, you just filled it out. So, and I believe, and I've got Matt's already, and Jessamyn, I believe, is finished, so they're submitting those. That's kind of step one in this process. Here's step two, and this is where you, their church family, comes in. As it says in 1 Timothy 3, it talks about how an elder is to have a good reputation. And in the context there, it's particularly talking about with outsiders, those outside of the church. But really, the implication is all the other criteria and characteristics listed are to be known by those who are within the church body of this person. And so here's the thing. If you, on the one side, have concerns, or it's somehow utterly shocking to you, as you've heard these five C's unpacked today, that we would be endorsing Matt to step into this elder process, let us know. We believe in the idea of the priesthood of believers, that the entire community of true believers in the church have the Spirit of God and that we can hear through them. And so we would invite you to come forward and share with us if you have any concerns. Now, we're not talking about you were over at Matt's house one day and noticed that he doesn't pick up his laundry off the floor. But if you have real concerns, then this is your chance over the course of the next couple of months to be able to bring those to us. On the flip side of that coin, this is your chance to affirm the things that you are hearing me speak to today, that an elder is, that you've seen these things in Matt. So it works both ways in terms of the way you as his church family can speak into this process. You can reach out to me if you are more familiar or comfortable with some of the elders that still have a close tie with us here at Terra Nova. Then you can feel free to reach out to any of the other elders in our Terra family of churches to speak into either of those sides of the coin. The next thing I've asked of both of them, actually, is to get away to pray and to fast through a retreat with some silence and solitude. I believe Jessamyn's already done that and I'm still waiting on Matt, so I'm just kidding. No, he's been a little bit busy, if you haven't been able to tell. But the purpose behind that is really to give him a chance to affirm that sense of calling, just to give the Lord the opportunity to say whatever he wants in that space and time that's created where he is just availing himself to God's direction to confirm that sense of calling that he'll have to fall back upon if and when he steps into that role as a pastor here at Terra. And then the final step that will then lead to kind of a roadmap for any further steps is for Matt and Jessamyn to sit before a panel of elders at Terra Nova, myself being one, two other elders from our Terra network, as well as a woman who's in leadership, oftentimes it's a pastor's wife who will be a part of that panel, who will just discuss with them the applications that each of those members of the panel will have had a chance to read through thoroughly, and then speak back in, ask questions, draw out, and help form a plan for continued growth or any next steps that need to be taken by Matt on this journey. And then from that point in time, based upon the outcome of that meeting, there'll be a roadmap that's kind of laid out and a timeline laid out for if and when we would officially be installing Matt as an elder at Terra. Here's the last thing I want to say before we shift gears to pray in closing and to continue our time in worship. It's really exciting for me to be able to share this with you guys today. It's really exciting to be able to, especially with somebody I've had the luxury of journeying with for a while, to be able to present to you somebody who has sensed this call in his life, which is no small step of faith. Sometimes as Christians, we just need a win, right? We need to be able to see where is God clearly at work in our midst, just that reaffirmation that God is with us. And I think a lot of times we'll look to conversions in people's life for that win, where somebody steps from a path of darkness onto a pathway of life with Jesus that will last into eternity, and we should celebrate those things. Those are huge wins. I'm not sure we always give the same kind of time, attention, and excitement to when we see sanctification happen, which just means a person's genuine process of growth in Christ, which is just as much by grace as when somebody becomes a believer. And I think that's one of the things that we can celebrate today. It's one of the things that I know that I celebrate when I witness the journey that Matt and Jessamyn have been on. It truly gets me excited when I see that people get it. And it's selfish, because the reason it gets me so excited is because God reveals something to me about himself in that person's journey. Aside from the Word of God and my personal time with him, it's through his community of people and seeing Jesus at work in their lives that I am most shaped by the Lord to know who Jesus is and to become more like him. And so that's something that we can celebrate. And I think this is just the beginning for us as well. I think God wants to do a lot more of this in our midst in this next chapter of our life here together as a church family. I've already seen people stepping out in faith to spearhead outreach ministries, people just recently who've stepped into a new responsibility of taking over tribe leadership, which is our small groups here at Terra Nova, when a year ago they probably never would have thought that the Lord would have had that for them. And so I'm just praying that God would continue to do that, because when people are stepping into the gifts and roles that he has from the foundations of the world created for them, that's when his people thrive, and that's where the world turns their head to see and say, what is God doing here? And so that gets me excited. As we close, I want to invite you to pray with me now for the Schwartzes, but I want to say really clearly, please don't let this be the last time. Please make this a point of priority for you as you think about your church family and important ways you can be praying to lift up Matt and Jessamyn throughout this fall as they explore this calling. And then I want you to pray for a sensitivity as well to the way that God may be leading others in our midst, maybe even you, to step up and serve sacrificially your church family here at Terra Nova. So join me in prayer, and then we'll continue in our time with some time of celebrating communion and more worship. Father in heaven, you are a gracious God. We talked a lot about calling today, but the most important calling any of us could experience is that of you calling us into relationship with yourself, that of you opening the eyes of the blind to be able to see ourselves rightly in light of who you are rightly as a holy God, gracious and merciful. Before any consideration of what we can do for you, God, we celebrate what you have done for us. And we give you thanks. And we ask now that you would provide wisdom and clarity for the Schwartzes, for the elders, and for this church family as Matt steps into this elder process this fall. We pray that you would clearly reveal your will for him and this church. We pray too, Father, that you would be at work in the hearts of each individual here whom you have called to yourself, to help them to explore and understand who you've created them to be in Christ. Let them lose sight of their own hopes and aspirations if they're not in alignment with yours, so that they can step into who you are making them to be in Christ in a real and powerful way. We give you thanks, Father, that we know that this is what you are about and you are already doing. We just let you know that it is our hope and our request as well. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.